Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 6. The book of John, chapter number 6. I have my notes today on my my phone because my tablet was going dead. But before I do this, I want to share something, if I could, that might give us a little bit of humor that I seen today. And kids, they talk in codes. If you're texting, they always say LOL, which means laugh out loud. When I started texting, I thought it meant lots of love. I kid you not, because I got a text from her cousin when it first started happening, and he said LOL at the end of it, and I got misty-eyed, and I said, Chris, your cousin loves me. And she says, Chad, that means laugh out loud. And then And then the other one is TTYL, that's talk to you later. I had no idea what that meant. I just laugh because I'm slow in these areas. But the old people have decided that they're not going to be outdone by these kids. And they have developed their own codes. So here are the old people's codes. Some of you folks might relate to these things. The first one is ATD, at the doctor's. The other one is BFF, best friend's funeral. The other one is BTW, bring the wheelchair. I like this next one. BYOT, bring your own teeth. FWIW, forgot where I was. My next favorite one, pastor will relate to this one. GGPBL, gotta go, pacemaker battery low. The other one I'm relating to is GHA, got heartburn again. The last one you'll find funny. TFT, texting from toilet. Hopefully you'll have a little humor. It's good to have humor in church, but let's get down and let's have some business tonight. Let's meet with God's word and what he has for us. Let's have a word of prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the time that you have allowed us to laugh together with one another. But Lord, now it's time for us to get into your word and see what you'd have for us today. God, it is a great privilege to stand behind the pulpit that you have allowed us to be in. And God, I pray that I would do you right tonight. I pray that I would not bring any embarrassment to you. I pray that, Lord, I would not cause you shame. And Lord, if there's anything that needs to be removed from my mind and from my thoughts this evening, Lord, I pray that you would do that. And I ask you these things in your name. Amen. Today we're going to deal with something I believe is necessary for us to deal with, because when you look in our world today, you see a lot of chaos that's taking place. And when you turn on a TV, which, by the way, let me encourage you to do something. Turn off the television. Honestly, it's been one of the best things that I've done in my life, and not having to worry about the news. And well, some people say, well, I just want to watch the weather. Can I give you a little hint about the weather? If you want to know what it's doing, go outside. It'll tell you if it's sunny or if it's cloudy. It really will. And I've done those things in my life. I'm not surrounded by the news channels anymore, and it's been a great blessing not to have that. But before all that took place, when you turn on a television, you see things take place in our society that is not desirable for us to see in our world today. As a matter of fact, it's very scary. It's very troubling times that we live in. It's a different era from the time that I grew up as a kid. I was telling the church this morning that when I grew up as a kid, when we went out and played, mom and dad didn't have to worry about us as much as we do with our kids now. I can remember going off for hours, you know, riding my bike and going down this block and that block. And I'm sure our parents were concerned at that time, but we weren't necessarily dealing with the threats that we were dealing with. The threat that I can remember as a kid was Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't know if you folks remember that name, but that's the name that resonates with me when I was a young person. I remember when all that took place. And I remember mom and dad being more protective during that time with that going on. But you see what is going on in our world today, and there's a problem with what's going on. And a lot of people are going to sit there and they're going to blame young people. Because when you turn on the television, that's the first thing you see. You see young people in the streets rioting. And I'm going to stop there because I don't really think the problem is necessarily with the young people. What I think the problem is the lack of parenting on the children. I really do. When I was disobeying or doing anything wrong that my parents thought were necessary to take action in my life, guess what took place? They took action. And they didn't care what was going to take place after the fact. Well, the government's going to come in. No, mom and dad was the government. They decided the laws. They were going to do what's best for us. But I believe our problem today that we're facing in America is parents not parenting their children. I believe parents are more concerned about being their friends. And let me tell you this, that comes in a later stage in life. And I'm able now to, at the age that I'm at, to have a relationship that I can sit there and call my dad my friend. That's changed because I'm almost 46 years of age, and that's going to change. But I will say this, if dad decides to interfere in my life and say, son, I don't think what you're doing is right, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to listen. I'm going to take his advice because he's much wiser than I am. But I believe parents need to be involved in their kids' life. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22, let's read this verse here, and it's a very familiar verse to all of us. And so let's read this, and then we'll get into our text tonight. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So first off, when a child is born, a parent needs to be involved from the very get-go. They need to be instilling the proper values in the life of a young person. And it's nice to see younger people as they have kids that just have recently got married, seeing them being involved in their kids' life. It's pretty awesome to see those things. But look down at verse number 15. It says, foolishness is bound in a heart of a child. And then it goes on, it says, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The part of training a child is to drive the foolishness out of the heart of the young person. A parent's job is, one of this, is to bring discipline to the child when discipline is needed. I'm going to move on from that because that's just kind of setting up the stage where I wanted to go tonight. We went to the book of John chapter 6 last week, and we heard and rehearsed about a story about the young lad who had some loaves of bread and some fish, and how God used him, how Jesus used his food greatly to replenish the life of people that were around him. But I'm going to pick this up again as we begin reading in chapter number 6, because I saw something here that I didn't catch before. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, but that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's Peter brother, says to him, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but they are among so many. But what are they among so many? Here I want to look at this young boy that we have talking about. There is no name for this man. It doesn't say anything about his parent at this particular time. It just refers to him as a young lad. There's something that I picked up during this here in this past week with this young lad. I'm going to give you 5 things that I believe that we need to have for us as we raise our children. And you might say, well, I don't have my children in my household no more. I have grandchildren. We're still responsible to be an example to them. And so how are we to train a child up in a way that he should go? Well, if you look at this second verse here says, and a great multitude followed. And then you go on down, as you see here, see the word follow, you see in verse number 9, it says, there is a lad here. So in the monks of this crowd, there is a lad that followed. One of the things that I believe today is one of the most important things for us to do as parents is to train our children to follow Christ. We look at what's going on in our world today. We see young people that are on television today. We see them being hauled off to jail. We see them being handcuffed. And the reason why we're seeing these things is because parents have lacked the knowledge to teach their kids to follow Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful tonight that I can probably say, without a doubt, we have people in our midst tonight that are teaching their children this very thing. And I'm thankful for those things. But there are many folks who are not teaching their kids to follow Christ. Matter of fact, following Christ is being committed to Him. It's being faithful to Him. It's allowing Him to speak to your heart and to speak to your life, to change your life. And I believe that some parents might be missing this. They might not see the importance of them following Christ. Or in other words, they allow them to chase their dreams. They allow them to focus on other things rather than following Jesus Christ. You know, life becomes difficult, does it not? But even though with the difficulty of life, it doesn't mean that we stop following Christ. What it means is we keep pressing on and we follow Him regardless. It's being an example to those that are around us. It's being a testimony to those that know that we love Jesus Christ. So often when those tough times come upon us, some people, they hit the easy button. And they say, you know what? Life problems aren't worth it. I'm not going to do this no more. So following Christ is not what's best for me. Let me interrupt you on that. Because the best thing that you can ever do, one, is to follow Christ. The second best thing for you to do when you have children is to teach them to follow Jesus Christ as well. And it's a great responsibility that we as parents have that are upon us. I would fail tonight if I was to live my years on earth raising a daughter that God has given me and not teach her to follow Jesus Christ. That would be a great failure to me, upon me and upon my wife. There is something that took place this week. I had no idea that this took place. My daughter, we decided this past school year when it started to kind of give her a head start on schooling for college in the future. And so she enrolled in a class in Iowa Western. She's taking an English class there, and right now I'm taking applications for people to send me money so that I can pay all that. And so if you folks want to be so generous, I'll meet you outside, and we'll go from there. But anyway, through her years, she has been in this school that we've had at this church. And I'm thankful for this school because what this school has done, they have taught her, and they emphasize from the parents, hey, your parents are teaching you this, and now we're going to show you why your parents are teaching you this, and that is to follow Christ. And so she had an assignment that was due this past week, and she had to write her first essay. And I didn't know how she was going to do it. I didn't know that she can even do those things. I know some things that she can do, but I didn't know she was capable of doing these things, but I shouldn't have been surprised. But anyway, class time came up this past Wednesday. She turned in her essay, and her professor began to read it. And as he's reading it, little did I know what she wrote. And in this essay, she began to go off on a previous trip that she took with the Fredricksons a couple years ago. And she began to describe how she began to look into the clouds because she was up in the mountain. And she felt as if she was up there. And she began to describe as she felt as if she was an ant in this world. But as she began to feel like an ant in this world, she knew, she said in this essay, that God cared for her. And after he began reading this, he looked at her and said, "Are you a Christian?" And her response was, "Yes, I am." And you know what his response was to her? He said, "Praise God." You know, we have a duty to teach our kids to follow Christ. I had no idea what she was writing about. I didn't know what was being said at that point in time. But she took what she has been taught her whole entire life, and she took it into a secular world, and she began to give her thoughts on what she knew and what she thought of God, and allowed somebody else to read that. That is following Christ. So you and I, we have a great responsibility to live up to what we believe in, and that's allowing our children to see the faith in us. Allowing our children to see, no matter how hard the times are going to be, you and I have to follow Christ. Because once you and I are gone from this world, who is left? Who is left are the children that we raised up. And if we're not going to teach them to follow Christ after we're gone, what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. You can turn on your TV, you're going to see worse things on that TV screen. So we need to train our children to follow Christ. And it's not always going to be easy. You're going to have some difficult times. You might have a rebellious child. Pastor had 6 rebellious children. It's not easy. But stay the course. Stay true. Don't give up. Be that testimony. Be that example. Because it's going to come to a time when you train up a child in the way he should go. He will not depart from it. He will go back to the truths that his mother and his father took time to teach them. The second thing that I see here is what we need to train our children is, number one, is to follow Christ. The second thing is to feast upon Christ, or to feed upon Christ. There is a feast that's taking place here, and there is some bread that's going to be distributed out amongst many people there. But you look on later on in this chapter, it's not about the physical bread, as we read earlier last week, but it's about the spiritual bread, and that spiritual bread is Jesus Christ himself. We need to teach our children to feast upon the Word of God. It shouldn't matter if we teach them to read Nancy Drew or the Hardy Boys or, forgive me, Mom, Louis L'Amour. But the most important thing that we can teach our children is to open up God's Word and allow them to feed on the very words of God. Because it is the very words of God that will change your life, that will change your destination, that will give you a new outlook, that will give you a new attitude if you had a bad attitude to begin with. To feed upon His Word. You realize what has taken place in our world today is because many young people are not taking the time to feast upon His Word. And then as you begin to feed and feast upon His Word, another thing that needs to follow in with this is to teach our kids to meditate, to study God's Word. Not just to read it to soothe your conscience and to say, hey, I've read 3 chapters today, or I've read 11 chapters today. No, to really meditate, to know what God is saying at this particular time to them. I don't know about you, but I enjoy being fed. I have enjoyed every meal that has been placed before me as I was growing up and to the age I am now. But one thing that I am enjoying even more in my life is feeding upon the Word of God. It's already set before me. All I have to do, it's prepared for me already. All I have to do is go in and begin to feed on the very words of God. It has changed my life. It has changed my attitude. It has changed my destination. And if it can change mine, it can change yours, and it can change the children's lives that are out there this day. So we need to teach them to follow Christ. We need to teach them to feed upon Christ. The third thing here that I want to point out this evening is we need to train our children to focus on Christ, to put our focus upon Him. We have allowed ourselves, and I'm guilty of this as well, we have allowed ourselves to allow our kids to focus on the things of this world when the things of this world do not matter. What matters is eternity. Are you going to be with Christ, or are you not going to be with Christ? Are you going to be bringing people with you, or are you not going to be bringing people with you? See, the reason why some people don't think of this is because their focus is in the wrong direction. We need to begin to teach our kids to stay focused upon His Word as you begin to read. It's easy to lose focus. And one of the reasons that I begin to understand why we lose focus is because we become disinterested in things and we begin to move on. You have heard me these last couple months talk about golf. Years ago, I had no interest in golf. None whatsoever. I thought it was stupid that grown men would go grab a stick and hit a ball that's on the ground that you have no idea where it's going to go. But I began to understand something about golf this past summer. If you're able to focus on having the proper tools, you're able to accomplish something that you were not able to accomplish years ago. You didn't see my golf game the last 5 years. I would get up to the tee box and I would grab this long stick and I get in my stance and I go back in and I would swing and I'm looking for the ball. I mean, man, I hit that thing far. It's still going. And I turn around and the ball's still there. And it's funny, but here's the truth of this. The reason why the ball is still there is because I did not focus upon the ball. Every time that you go with a golfer who's trained properly, he will tell you, Chad or Jeff, keep your eye on the ball. Do not lift your head up at any given time. If you lift your head up, if you turn the other direction, you will not hit the ball. What are they saying? Focus on the ball. And so I've been able to hone in on my skills a little bit this summer and begin to focus upon the ball. Folks, that's the exact type of behavior that we need to have when it comes to Jesus Christ. We need to focus upon Him. We begin looking around and we're wondering, where's Jesus at? Where did He go? He hasn't gone anywhere. He's right here. We just lost focus. We need to focus upon Him. And we need to train our children to focus upon Him. It's not about how many friends that you can acquire on Instagram. It's not a matter of how many friends that you can get on Facebook. By the way, if you have over 1,000 friends on Facebook, I can guarantee you, you probably only have 10 good friends that are on there. It's just a number game for a lot of people. But we allow them to focus on those things. We allow them to focus upon fashion and celebrities and sports people, things of those nature. When in fact, the real importance is training our children to focus upon Jesus Christ. Because I will say this, Jesus was focused upon you. As He was on that cross, you and I that are sitting in here tonight, He was focused upon us. He had every single individual in mind. And how can that be? But I cannot understand that. But Jesus had His focus upon you, which is why He stayed upon the cross. The fourth thing that I want to look at here tonight is how we need to train our children is to favor Christ. You know how you're growing up and you have a favorite toy and you're excited about that toy? That toy meant a lot to you. Some of you folks don't know that I had a favorite stuffed animal. And my siblings might not remember this, but I had, I don't know why I had this. I don't know where it came from. I have no idea. I just know one day that it appeared on my lap and I kept it there. And I had a red giant panda. Pandas aren't red. I understand that. But when you're poor, they're red. The rich people got the original color. I got the red one. So anyway, I'm just playing with you on that one. But I love that thing. And I took this panda with me to many places. I even brought it to school. And as I would sit on the school steps when I wasn't involved in school, being a preacher's kid, you're able to come here and you're able to partake in those things. And so I sat out there when I was 4 or 5 years of age. And I can remember being out there on a chilly afternoon one time. And this is my favorite stuffed animal. And I began to take off my jacket because it was chilly to put on a panda that had fur and it had insulation in it. That was my favorite toy. That was my favorite thing. I took it everywhere with me. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if the panda fairy came and took it away and burned it from me. I have no idea. I just know it's not in my life anymore. But that was my favorite thing. I can remember growing up wanting to wear corduroys. Folks, if you grew up in the 80s, you knew what corduroys were. And they were probably popular back in the 40s. I don't know about that. I wasn't born then. But I remember growing up, I thought the coolest thing for me to have was a pair of corduroys. And they became one of my favorite pieces of clothing to have, but they were mine. They were my brother Jeff's. Jeff got the rich corduroys. When I got the corduroys, they were slacks. They wore out, but they became my favorite pair of pants. You know what I'm getting at. I'm trying to describe something that's favorite, that you love, that you treasure. That's what I'm trying to describe here. But we need to teach our children, train our children to favor Jesus Christ. Make him their favorite in their life. Meaning that's what they live for. That's what they breathe for. That's their whole goal, and that's their whole purpose. We go about and we talk about, hey, I got this cell phone, and I got that cell phone, I got this latest gadget, and I got this gadget that's going to be coming out, and all those things, and we favor those things. But how about we refocus our children and show them that they need to have Christ as their favorite? Make Christ their favorite. And when you make Christ their favorite, their life's going to be so much better than what it should be. I'll never forget the love that was demonstrated at this pulpit years ago. I said this story a few months ago, but I never said the name behind this for a particular reason. But I never forgotten what took place at this pulpit. And I'll never forget all until my dying days. I'll never forget this because it's etched into my mind and it brings tears to my mind as I begin to think about it. As your pastor walked up here and he opens up the Word of God, and as he's preaching from it, for some reason or another, he picked it up. And as he picked it up, it fell from his hands onto the ground. And I'll never forget the expression that came over his face. It was as if something very devastating had just taken place in his life. And it was devastating. The very word that changed his life, he dropped and he picked it up. And tears began to flow from his eyes. You know what that demonstrated to me that day? That I have now finally figured out so many years later? That God is his favorite. And he's so much his favorite, it hurt him to the core when he dropped the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about here. Make Christ your favorite. The last thing that I want to end with is finish with Christ. We need to train our children to finish with Christ. Today we are in a race. Paul describes it. We are to run with patience the race that is set before us. We must understand that as there is a race before us, meaning there is going to be an end, and it's how we finish is what's important. I have gone golfing on several occasions with my younger brother, Matt. And growing up in a house full of boys, you become very competitive. You want to outdo each other. And it's always been a goal of ours to outdo our older brothers. It's always been a battle. And it will be a battle until we're gone from this world. And that's just how it is. Oh, yeah, I can spit farther than you. Oh, yeah, let's prove it. We would do those things. My brother, as I went golfing with him a couple years ago, he said to me, and I say this to this day when I golf with people, he says, Chad, it's not how you arrive, it's how you finish. I've been thinking about that for the last couple months. What's in this lesson that he doesn't realize that he's trying to teach me? So you folks, you say things to me, and what you don't understand about me is I take those things and I begin to meditate upon those things. And I begin to look for lessons in those things to help me out with my life. It's not about how you arrive, it's how you finish. We need to teach our kids to finish with Christ. He is the ultimate goal, and we need to finish with Him. Yes, the race might be very fatiguing at times. Yes, the race might interfere with our lifestyles at times. Yes, the race might seem inconvenient at times. But we need to teach our children to stay the course, stay on the right path. Don't allow yourself to get diverted. Don't allow yourself to get sucked up by the world that's trying to ruin you, trying to destroy your testimony, trying to make you a laughingstock. But what we need to do is say, children, you need to finish with Christ. That is what is necessary in your life. Don't walk away. Don't get discouraged. But finish with Him. And finish strong. That's what we need to do. I have had a lot of folks that I have been surrounded in my life who I have seen quit. They have walked away. They have said, for some reason or another, not outwardly, but I can kind of read in between the lines, I give up. It's not worth it for me. I don't want to live this lifestyle. It's too much. I don't want to be known as a Christian, and I just want to throw in a towel. I do not want to finish with Christ. But the best thing that you and I can do is to train our children to follow Christ, to feast upon Christ, to focus upon Him, to show that He is their favorite, and then to finish with Jesus Christ. That's what we need to teach our children today. Train up a child in a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. One thing that I know for a fact as I was being raised by my mom and by my dad is you are not a quitter. Whatever comes your way, do not quit. Give it your all. Don't give up. It'll build character. It'll help you in your life as you get further along. Don't give up. I've heard that many different occasions. And I've also heard this come out of their mouths. You know why you feel this way? You know why you're looking at it this way? It's because you've given up. I've trained you better than that. Without a doubt, we've all been faced with difficulties. We've all had something thrown at us, and we don't understand those things. But we can't give up. One of the things that rings so true in my mind, I'll never forget this. When Chris and I, when we came back from Tennant, Iowa, after all those things happened, I'll never forget, as we pulled off the interstate, and I looked over at my dad as he's driving back home. Not much was said. There's a lot of silence. And because of what I was taught, I said these words, Dad, I'm only a failure if I quit. Life's going to be hard. You're going to get knocked off the horse. You're not going to understand some things that come your way. But finish with Jesus Christ. That's what we need to teach and train our children. If I can give one good, sound piece of advice to my daughter, is when mom and dad's gone and we're no longer around looking at you, trying to help you, the most important thing that I can teach you, Jalen, is to finish with Christ and to pass this along to your family. That's what we need to do. Finish with Christ. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And we will be dismissed this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for you allowing us to be here. I'm thankful tonight that even through this lesson that you've allowed me to go through last week, you've allowed me to see something different tonight. And God, I pray tonight that the privilege that you have given us to be parents and some grandparents, some aunts and uncles, Lord, we all have a part in somebody's life. We can be a help to, a mentor to. We can help guide them along in their life as they grow up. God, I thank you for these values that you've allowed me to see tonight. I pray, Lord, that it would be a help to somebody that's in here this evening. God, I thank you for showing us the importance of following you and to finish with you. But God, the most important thing that we need to do that I didn't mention is we need to start with you. God, I pray that you would be a part of our lives daily. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. In your name, amen.